gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania. Looking forward to a great show with you tonight. Full house, full boat tonight. Broadcast live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Catch us live as well on YouTube Live and also on BTR, Blog Talk Radio. There are some issues there.
And just to keep you in the loop, there is no available help at the moment. There must be some kind of...
All right.
Interface issues, so we will keep our eye on that.
Yeah, just if you connect via Blog Talk Radio, the interface between it's a software issue apparently. So there you go, Eric the Tech speaks. He speaks. All right, Doug Hagman at the helm, Joe Hagman here. All right, let's bring on Dave Hodges. Dave Hodges, is he there? Are you there?
Dave Hodges is here.
You got a lot to talk about, man. You sound like you're right here in studio with us, so it's good. It's good to,
well,
good to hear you, man. Hey, Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show, folks. If you haven't tuned in, commonsenseshow.com. If you haven't gone to Dave's website, do so. If you haven't bookmarked that, do so. If you don't check it every day, do so. If you don't listen every week, do so. If you don't catch his YouTubes every day, do so. Come on, Dave. Let's rock. What do you got?
Yeah.
What do you got for us, brother?
It's hard to know where to start. Paul Martin and I did a mini podcast last night. I mean, 5-6 minutes. And in that time, we covered five potential nation-ending events that have happened in the last 24 hours. So, you know, where do you start with this? I mean, you know, I think what's on everyone's mind is Flynn, Pizzagate, and what I'm finding, Doug... is all roads lead to Pizzagate. The Jerry Sandusky and Son second mile leads to Pizzagate. The Franklin scandal leads to Pizzagate. Nancy Schaefer, the murdered Georgia state senator, was going to Pizzagate. Frank Johnson, the congressional district 1 of Virginia, House representatives man, he was forced out of office. He was going towards Pizzagate. Didn't use the term, but his whole homepage was dealing with child sex trafficking. L.A. County Sheriff leads to Pizza Hut. I've seen things in Colorado.
Just so we don't get sued, it's Pizzagate. You said Pizza Hut. So.
Oh, did I say Pizza Hut?
Yeah, it's
okay,
Pizzagate.
Sorry,
just so we don't get sued.
I love Pizza Hut. No offense intended there, Pizza Hut. I love you. I wish you had more in-store restaurants again. Used to go there all the time in high school. Anyway, Pizzagate, excuse me. So, you know, all around the country, these pedophile rings, and internationally, DynCorp, Wells Fargo, Wachovia, when Blackwater was doing their thing, all tied to child sex trafficking. And we're coming to a nexus point, Doug. It's all pointing to Washington, D.C., and the perverts that we put into Washington, into government office. And just today, in fact, let me reference something here. Trevor Loudon has a fantastic documentary called The Enemies Within. And in that, he identifies 80 congressmen and senators, men and women, all Democrats, or should I say members of the Democratic Communist Party, and they all belong to front groups for either the Communist Party, the Muslim Brotherhood, or both. And what I was told today by someone who's put me on the right path before on this topic is that these front groups for the Communists and the Muslim Brotherhood, well, they're into Pizzagate. How do you like them apples?
There continues to be these developments into, you know, this Pizzagate investigation, the citizens' investigation of Pizzagate. New things continue to be uncovered and exposed. But one of the things that you mentioned is the Sandusky, the son of Jerry Sandusky, arrested for the same crimes, you know, abusing and molesting children. And, I mean, that speaks volumes. And also, Dave, I don't know if you've noticed this, and some people have even tied it to Clinton Foundation donations drying up from different countries, but there's been a lot of sex trafficking, human trafficking, and pedophilia rings that around the country and around the world that have been busted recently. There was one in L.A. that involved over 400 and some people, some in law enforcement. There was, we had an incident here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where there was like, real dark satanic stuff happening. It was a child sex ring. And then there was links. I saw one story that pointed out headlines that showed, you know, donations from this country drying up to the Clinton Foundation. And then a day later, it was a story from that same country saying, you know, child sex ring uncovered, arrests made. And there was like three examples of that. And they were all within days of each other, whether it's tied to the Clinton Foundation or not. I find it very interesting, though, the amount of stories that we see of these things happening. And yet they still say Pizzagate's a conspiracy and there's, you know, there's no such thing as child sex trafficking. It's really crazy.
Well, you know how they've deflected the whole thing, gentlemen, is they've, you know, the Russians are coming. And this is their mantra now to take the mind off of Pizzagate. And I was listening to these talking heads the other night on PBS. And, well, you know, they've proven that Trump was involved with the Russians and they all hacked into the election. This was on PBS. And I'm thinking, well, did I go to sleep that day that they introduced that proof? There is no proof of Russian involvement. And this brings me down to General Flynn. Guys, this guy got railroaded. Mm-hmm. He got railroaded to the nth degree. I can't even imagine that, and I was thinking this through, why would the future, you know, director of national security, why would he have a negotiation with the Russians over the sanctions when they're going to be in office in a couple of short weeks and it'd be perfectly legal? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I could understand that the Russians are complaining bitterly. Hey, we don't know how long we can hang on. Obama's doing this. He's doing that. He's trying to provoke war. Hey, don't worry about it. We'll deal with it when we get into office. That's about as far as I believe this probably went. And what really concerns me, and I don't know if you covered this on your show last night, but what really concerns me is Flynn and Trump were private citizens when this was going on. How in the hell does the CIA get away with wiretapping domestically American citizens and no one's going to prison?
And there it is.
Not only that, it came out yesterday, that the CIA has been caught monitoring and surveilling candidates for the presidency of France. And that information got leaked.
But this is more disturbing because this is domestic. And Dave, you hit the nail right on the head. This is domestic, and this I love this. You nailed it right there. Right, you said it all.
Yeah, you don't have to go any further. And here's what the bottom line is: there is a civil war right now in D.C. And the only thing that's not happening is bullets aren't being fired yet, and bodies aren't dying. But the political body count is piling up, and we've just seen the first salvo. And what I hope Trump does is I hope Trump gets out his wrecking ball and takes it over to Langley and just starts swinging it. He needs to demand the resignation of every domestically stationed CIA agent, administration. He needs to get rid of them all, every one of them, and then re-interview and rehire on a case-by-case basis. I mean, these people are loyal to Obama, they are loyal to Clinton, and there is no room for this. My dad was in naval intelligence. There was a president he did not care for, and he told me, he said, I didn't get to decide whether I cared for this president. I had a duty to carry out in my role as a naval officer in intelligence, and he said, I didn't get to question anything. And how dare these people break our domestic laws of spying and then act so insubordinate and treasonous towards the president. This, I'm outraged by this, and the CIA needs to have done to it what John Kennedy was going to do before they murdered him, which was to tear it apart piece by piece and break it into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, and just to back up what you were saying about Flynn, the FBI reviewed the intercepted communications between the Russian ambassador and General Flynn, and they said that they have found no evidence of any wrongdoing or illicit ties to the Russian government, that according to the U.S. officials inside of the FBI. And as you said, there was no crime committed here. There's no further investigation that's going to take place. And the real story is about these leaks.
You know what, Dave? I said yesterday, too, Krauthammer, who I used to care for, I really don't care for that much anymore, said this is a cover-up without a crime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. He has no proof from which to say that. And he's trying to make a Watergate implication there where there is no proof on the table. And just like this Russian thing, I mean, let's just put it out on the table. Trump, the Russians. You know, then you've got Flynn, the Russians. Well, you got Hodges, the Russians. Remember, yours truly accused of being a Russian subversive agent by the Washington Post because I dared to support Donald Trump.
Yeah, they
I'm tired of
you.
The Russians.
They named Dave Hodges as a Russian agent.
And you know what's funny about that? You remember the feud I had with the voice of Russia now, Sputnik, and that went on for a while. I've written 18 articles critical of Vladimir Putin, and I'm a Russian subversive agent. That's their fallback position.
Right, comrade.
And by God, if anyone's listening to us tonight, and you think there's an element of truth to this, you need to tune in to Doug. You need to read Steve Quayle every day. You come to my site. You need to make the tour because you are woefully ignorant. There's no room for people to be believing this nonsense, and they keep trotting it out. And you know, here's the thing I told somebody today, the big liberal defending Hillary should be president. We wouldn't have these scandals. And I said, really? I said, I'd want to hear the transcript of the recorded conversation between Flynn and the Russian ambassador. I want to hear that transcript. I'm not for sweeping anything under, because I said what you'll find is the allegations are the second and the 19th letter in the alphabet, and the other thing that you're going to find is we're going to implicate the CIA in committing multiple felonies, and it'll be out there in the open. Trump needs to prosecute these people, sic Sessions on the CIA right now, and start delivering indictments.
I agree with what you're saying, Dave, and it would be a very tall task. But obviously, throughout many presidencies that I've witnessed, we have seen the shadow government elements work through these alphabet agencies specifically, and especially the CIA. Robert Steele was on last week, and he talked about the many different areas of the CIA's operations, whether it was in the media, black ops, the economy, Wall Street, things like that, and the amount of influence that they have in all these the most important areas of our country and critical infrastructure. I mean, they have their hands in every pie, and as Mr. Steele said, that there are some good people there, but there's a whole other side of the CIA that people don't know, and it's about sabotage, it's about spying, and it is doing nothing but damaging and destroying our national security and undermining the legitimacy of our republic.
Well, the CIA and the part of it you're referencing, Doug, the shadow part, is about protecting the global drug trade that the elite and many of our top government leaders are involved in. It's also about protecting the affiliated and associated child sex trafficking ring. So here we are back to Pizzagate. And it's also about gun running. And it's all going to come out if we just keep pressing. They can't hide from this any longer. We have too many eyes on them, and too much is coming out. And even if Trump goes away, we will go ballistic in the independent media, and we'll whip the people up into a frenzy. And this is not going to end well for the elite. Now, the problem is I don't think it's going to end well for all of us, because they're not going to accept the election results. They're not going to play by the rules. They're not going to follow the law. They're already showing that. I don't see there's any way that we don't get out of this without a fight. And I kind of resigned myself to the fact that, you know, I'm a man of God and I'm a man of peace. But if this is what it's going to take to defend ourselves, because remember, these are the people who want to depopulate the planet, the people that run these organizations, they want 90% of it's gone. It's self-defense. And we're getting to the point now to where each American's going to have to make a decision what side you're on. And I mean, whether you be military or civilian, government contractor, or in a federal agency, you have to make a decision. Are you pro-Constitution? Are you pro the Christian foundations that built this country? Or are you evil and satanic and want to abuse children and do horrible things to them? You have to make a decision what side you're on. There is no sitting on the fence because the Civil War is here. Will it explode into a shooting war? I hope not. But we have a coup and a civil war going on at the same time right now in Washington. And we need to make a choice. And we are not doing any favors here by soft peddling this. You guys aren't soft peddling it. I'm not. And we need to call it out for what it is, guys. We are in the fight for our lives. God gave us a second chance when Donald Trump was elected. We got a reprieve from the Almighty. This is our last chance to preserve our future.
Amen to that. You know, and I just want to say this, Dave, looking at the landscape of things, we can see that everything that's taking place against the American people, against Trump, is by the shadow government. And this is all the George Soros. It's tied to George Soros, but it's more than that. It's the Clower Piven strategy, the Alinsky arm as well. You know, this is step one. And Sherry Goodman wrote in the American Thinker today, or yesterday, it was within the last 24 hours anyway, a George Soros-led mutiny is the title. But step one is to form a shadow government using humanitarian aid as cover. You got that via the Clinton Foundation, also Soros's various fundraising arms. Two is to control the airwaves, feed propaganda into existing radio and TV outlets. Done. Destabilize the state is step three. Weaken the government and build anti-government hostility. Hey, we're seeing that now. So, I mean, everything you said, and it goes on, but everything you said is exactly right. We're seeing this take place. And we need to stand up. Go ahead.
Do you find it interesting that Fox is halfway telling the truth while the rest of the media is mired in their lies?
What do you make of
it's
that?
It's dangerous because lies can be identified, but when you package lies into truth or put portions of truth into the lies, that's when it becomes really dangerous, in my opinion. But
Fox
has been more
that,
accurate
though?
than other networks.
Yeah,
and I'd say it's partisan in nature.
Well, Tucker Carlson, he was. The other night he was really making an issue out of the CIA doing domestic spying. And he eviscerated Representative Gallegos, who's from my home state here in Arizona. I mean, he left him with his tongue wagging on the floor because the congressman would not address the substantive issue. He wanted to address allegations without proof against Trump, but he wouldn't deal with what we already know to be true, that the CIA is breaking its own rules and federal law to boot. So, you know, we have them on the run. And we have the media on the run. We have the Democrats on the run. A lot of the Democrats I talk to aren't identifying with the Democratic Party. They're too radical. They're too extreme. And this scandal with Pizzagate is not exclusively Democrat, but it's I'm getting the sense it's primarily Democrat.
Well, I think it's across the board, but it's nonpartisan. But you're right.
Exposure is showing to be more left leaning now. But when you look at people like Denny Hassert, who is, Republican head of the House of Representatives, and some of these other political people, I think what we're seeing was from the left due to the Podesta leaks and the Hillary email scandal and those things that were released. I think we only have very small portion of the actual story, though.
Yeah,
but it's coming out. I mean, the total criminality. You just need to know where to look. Let me give you an example. You go to Duterte from the Philippines. I wrote an article when he first got into office about his exchange with Obama, and the article got absolutely zero traction. I mean, no one wanted to read this, but I thought it was so significant because he executed 2,000 drug dealers within his boundaries under Philippine law. And it's his right to do it. I mean, I think the justice was a little harsh, but it was his right. And Obama criticizes him, was going to fly to the Philippines to meet with him and straighten him out. Now, why would the President of the United States care about a third world country executing drug dealers? You might say it's a little harsh, but boy, the world's a safer place now. Thank you. No, Obama wanted to straighten him out. Why? Because Obama is the facilitator and protector of these illegal activities. Pizzagate, drug trafficking, gun running. This is the Clinton Foundation. The same thing. And what we're finding now, Trevor Loudon is exposing it. Well, let me put it this way. Trevor Loudon exposed these associations with these radical front groups for the Communist Party and the Muslim Brotherhood. But what I'm finding are these same names are popping up in the Pizzagate stories. It's just okay. One big, like, happy, perverted, incestual family.
Yeah, continue with that if you'd like. I mean, as deep into that as you want to go, or wherever you want to go with that. It's interesting.
Well, Doug, you did the best job I have heard the last 2 weeks on my show when you came on and named names. You're doing what really no one else is doing. But I will tell you what I was told by a source today, and what I've already referenced, is that you want to talk about perverts? Let's have Nancy Pelosi enter the discussion. Let's have Elizabeth Warren. It's not just tied to men. These women are involved, according to what I'm told. And by the way, this isn't just a Dave Hodges source. I'm reading this in other places. I got to believe there's some legitimacy to it because I'm seeing it too often. Maybe we are just repeating the same rumors, but I don't think so. And then, of course, we get into Al Franken, as in Frankenstein, which is what he is when he's around children, from what I understand. And Al Franken, sue me, because I got a lot of people calling you a pervert. And I'm repeating what I'm told. And he is tied to front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood. He is tied to the American Communist Party. They had people go door to door for him when he was running office from the Communist Party. And he's, like I said, he's with these front groups. So those are just a few of the names, guys. It's incredible how high this scandal goes. But let me share with you what I did when Jerry Sandusky's thing was going on. When I first thought with Jerry Sandusky, he was a pervert that got away with something for a very long time. But then I found out about Ray Greikar, the DA of Center County in your home state in Pennsylvania. And he turned down investigating Sandusky until a woman played tapes for him over the phone. And he started to look into it. Well, they found his car at a convenience store. The FBI found his laptop so damaged, so they say, that they couldn't pull any information off of it. And they never found Mr. Greikar. And they waited 6 years to declare him dead. Now, this is a county DA that was murdered who was looking into these crimes. It wasn't Sandusky. He doesn't have the wherewithal to get someone whacked like that and covered up that well. This was an organized hit. That's what got my attention about the Sandusky case. I go, uh-oh, this goes a lot farther than a pervert hiding behind Penn State University. This went into the provost office at Penn State. It went right to the top of Penn State. Their board of trustees were involved. I mean, and by the way, then they took that trail and shut it off. Then you had some of the people that were on the board of directors, and I don't have my notes in front of me, and I would name names if I did. But by gosh, if I didn't trace them into the governor's office of Pennsylvania, as well as to certain members of Congress. By the way, some of the same people that Trevor Loudon is identifying. But the trail went cold. And I had this discussion with Paul Preston last night as we were talking about this on a broadcast. And he said, this is so typical, Dave. Trails go cold. We come back. We reopen. We take it farther. We get more info. Guys, I'm absolutely convinced that Sandusky and the Second Mile, I know they're tied to Pizzagate. You can feel it in your bones. Enough names are appearing. We can start to make reasonable accusations. Could I prove it in a court of law? I don't think so yet. But I also am of the opinion that Sandusky's kid was whacked. In other words, he wasn't set up. They just caught him doing what the pervert always does. And who whacked him? I'm going to believe it was the Trump administration. And what I think is going on is I think they're going to try to turn the Sanduskys into state evidence. And that's just a hypothesis. But, you know, they whacked him for a rather low-level crime and then gave it tremendous publicity. Now, I'm not saying it's not a serious offense to solicit kids for oral sex who are underage, but right. it wasn't the kind of perversion we see with Pedogate. It's a little bit, it's a lot worse. And I think that I look at this, my gut tells me I smell a Jeff Sessions in this or somebody connected to Trump who said, let's whack this guy legally and see if we can't turn him, and we'll start turning over the, you know, the hidden bodies here, and we'll get to the bottom of this from that angle. And I think this is what we're going to see.
Very interesting. And, wow. Another angle to look at this, and I would urge everyone, folks, go to thecommonsenseshow.com. It's linked off of our website. And take a look at the array of articles that Dave has up, and of course his YouTube channel, his daily updates, which are incredible, as well as his Sunday show, which, wow, thank you for allowing me to be on the last 2 weeks as well, Dave. I got to say that. But
it's my distinct pleasure to have two gentlemen on from the best radio show in America, so the pleasure is all mine.
We'll appreciate that. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. Our guest this hour, Dave Hodges. TheCommonSenseShow.com. You know who Dave Hodges is. No introduction necessary, but obviously just at the tip of the spear with respect to the investigations that he's doing. An interesting article, too, about on The Common Sense Show about is Pence setting up Trump for impeachment. And circles, everything kind of circles back around. Everything's kind of hovering over what we're talking about, what Dave is talking about. Very interesting indeed. TheCommonSenseShow.com is Dave's website. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at, folks.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Dave Hodges, commonsenseshow.com, telling it like it is, freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I like that tagline. I'll tell you what, Dave Hodges is on the trail all the time. He's on the case all of the time, all of the cases. They're out there. Dave, did you catch Trump's press conference today, all the parts of it, any of it? Did you?
No, I was tied up in a meeting, but I did read about it.
Yeah, that was.
I'm going to give Mr. President, who I'm totally on his side, I'm all in, but I think he should be wary and adhere to the words of Theodore Roosevelt: "Speak softly and carry a big stick."
Yeah,
and get off Twitter. I mean, if you want to say something important on Twitter because the media is twisting your message, great. But don't react to every little negative nuance out there with a tweet, because it's going to habituate on the American people and they're going to tune him out. He needs to save his tweeting for the big things.
Yeah, I've got a Twitter account, and I just, frankly, I got to tell you, I don't have the time to send tweets. I don't think about it, but yeah, I've never. It's an interesting environment when you have the president sending out what messages limited by 140 characters or whatever they are. Wow, it's amazing stuff. But yeah,
well, today I'm looking at this right here, Doug. He tweeted out, you know, low life leakers. Okay, I know they're low life leakers. He's right. Don't waste your time tweeting. Sit down with your attorney general and start writing indictments.
There you go. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
That's what I want to see.
And I think all of America wants to see that. When is the perp walk going to take place with these people, the swamp creatures? You know, when are the Soros backed people going to be let out under charges of sedition? And, you know, when you look in the Oxford Dictionary, it defines mutiny as an open rebellion against the proper authorities. And I think we're seeing that take place here. It's synonymous with revolt and riot. Turn on the television. Anytime you see riots, hashtag resist. All of these are subgroups of Obama, Clinton, Soros, the same people. When are we going to fight back? And I'm amazed, by the way. I don't know about you. Are you amazed? I'm amazed how many people are carrying the water for these resist communist revolutionaries that we see out there. Millennials for Revolution. You know, these the Disrupt J20. Resist.
I'm not surprised.
You're not?
Because my son made me watch Mark Dice YouTube channel last night. And one of the things he did, we're still laughing about it. He went to the beach. It looked like Santa Monica. And he asked people, he said, what year did Jesus die? And people were giving answers like 1300. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. And who's the vice president? Or who's Joe Biden?
Would Jesus still be alive if there had been gun control? That was another one he asked.
Yeah. I mean,
so to answer your question, Doug, when are we going to rise up? Well, when those people pull their head out of where the sun doesn't shine and start realizing that they maybe should pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, and what's interesting is he does a lot of those. One of my favorite ones that he's done is he's had I believe it was either a 10th ounce or maybe it was a whole ounce gold coin. And he offered people the ounce gold coin or a candy bar. And I don't know how many people, if any, took the gold coin, but everyone he showed on his videos took the candy bar.
That's why the Federal Reserve is still in existence.
Yeah. The level of stupidity is amazing. People are so engulfed in their own world in their own circles and in their own cares. They have no idea what's going on in the outside world. And then to make it worse, this resistance movement that we see are filled with these kind of people. They don't even know why they're angry. And it's just very alarming.
You know, that's another video I've seen where, why are you protesting? I don't know. And that's the kind of answer you're getting from these people. Well, because George gave me $18 an hour to do it.
That's
the kind of logic that we're seeing, and we are almost hopelessly dumb, but not everyone is dumb. But some of us who aren't dumb are hopelessly lazy. And to have knowledge without action, you may as well not have any knowledge. And here's what I'm going to lead to. People ask me, well, what can we do to help Donald Trump? Well, there may be a day when we have to pick up the guns and defend ourselves, because I do think that they're going to come after all of us at one point in time, because they're not going to accept, you know, what we want to do. But on the other side, until that day happens, you could put constant pressure on your congressmen and senators, and you don't have to look for a reaction. You're having an effect. They're not going to show you an effect. Email, call, and, you know, support Trump's free trade revisions, support Trump's tax plan, support prosecuting the CIA for illegal domestic spying. If the average person would do that, Congress would fall into line, because they're such political prostitutes. They want to get elected, and if they think the people are paying attention, they would have to start doing the right thing.
True, and I think that works. You know, the other side's doing that right now, and I've noticed, because part of surveillance of the opposition is, or part of handling the opposition is surveillance. I've noticed that right now the call is to any town open town hall meetings. There are gatherings where there's organized resistance against the GOP conservative, not GOP, but conservative candidates. And we're seeing that gel up, and there's an organized resistance there. So, so we need to do the same thing, but do it harder and a lot wider. We have them on the numbers,
have a chance. Doug. We do. Let me give you an example. I got a mysterious email from this very nice lady I talked to named Danielle Arama, and she said, I'd like to talk to you because you have some interesting views on technology and facial recognition and blah. And she didn't say what she wanted this for, so she said, can I call you? I said, okay, here's my number. And she talked to me for about 15 minutes, and she goes, well, how would you like to go on the air? And I go on the air with who? And she said, MTV. And we're setting up a time to do a pre-record where I'm going on MTV. A man of my age going on MTV. That's amazing.
Rock on.
The point. really. But the point is this, is that, you know, some people say, why would you go on such a network as that? That has nothing to do with what you do. And I'm thinking, well, maybe we'll get 2 million people see a side of the world that they're not familiar with. And maybe out of that 2 million people, maybe 20,000 of them will say, I want to know more about this. And they start to realize how they're being lied to and deceived. And what I'm saying is, you have to take the moments of opportunity. I don't think, you know, the average listener right here is going to get a call from MTV, but your neighbor is going to ask you a question. And if you don't beat them over the head with your philosophy and just say, well, this is how it affects me, does it affect you? And this is what we need to start doing. We need to do grassroots networking, and also at the same time, as I mentioned, put pressure on Congress. This is the best thing we could do for Donald Trump right now. And then if we wanted to really go rogue, we go kidnap George Soros and put him in prison where he belongs. We just conduct a citizen's arrest. I don't know where he's at. You know where to find him?
No. I want to flip an address for this idiot. I know he's got the New York address, and he's got some place in Budapest, I think. But
he's probably hanging out at some orphanage, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I mean, look, we're going to turn over to you to take us where your investigative senses are taking you, because you're
Jerry Brown, and I've covered a lot of the Cal Exit stuff. And I've taken the conspiracy and the politics out of the situation in California involving the Oroville Dam. I have plenty to say. And believe me, when the crisis is abated, and hopefully no one is harmed and the property is still intact, I'm going to start singing like a canary, because I know exactly why Governor Brown ignored these people in California with this dam up until the moment of crisis. And he would never have come out. And I'm going to repeat to you what Paul Preston told me. And he's a very well-known talk show host up in Northern California, Agenda 21 Radio, Red State Talk Radio, lots of AM stations. And he and I did a couple podcasts together. I wrote some articles, and they went fairly viral. I mean, 200,000 people saw the first article I wrote on the Oroville Dam. And that I was told that forced Jerry Brown out. He was ignoring the press, refusing comment. But it's really bad what's happening up there. Let me share with you what I know. This is no secret. The two spillways are on the verge of collapse. And Paul and I were among the first to report that. And if the spillways go, see, then the water comes back and starts cutting through the dam like a buzzsaw. And it will find the path of least resistance and where the least structural integrity is and start to have breaches in the hull. And that's why you need the spillways to relieve the pressure. And this dam has been compromised for 12 years. And Jerry Brown got billions of dollars when he came into the governor's office 7 years ago to fix this, and he used it to basically spend it on programs for illegals. Although I will say this, he would have done a lot if nothing but illegals lived in that Sacramento Valley. But here's the logistics. If this dam breaks, and I've now talked to Army Corps of Engineer, I had a man, in fact, I published his letter this morning, who used to work in this field, and what I'm told by people, if this dam breaks, and it could, because we have 7 days of rain that are coming through that area now, and if that dam breaks, it's going to break out at between 70 to 80 miles an hour. In some places in the canyon where it drops off, it'll crest at 100 feet. It'll crest everywhere else at about 30. There'll be towns that will never come back. They'll just flat disappear from the face of the earth. And that water will reach Sacramento. Now, I've gotten varying reactions to this. That water will reach Sacramento, and I've been told 30 minutes, assuming that it maintains the speed, and the outside is 2 hours. The levees in Sacramento, and I reported on this, and this is directly from Channel 3, I believe it's KCHR in Sacramento. I put a video up on the article I wrote on this, the first article, and they said the levees are failing. They evacuated South Sacramento and parts of Walnut Grove because the levees are going to fail. This is going to be worse than Katrina, because if this dam breaks, not only are you going to destroy 200,000 people before you get to Sacramento, the Sacramento the city area is 500,000, but they have 1.5 million to about 1.7 million in the general region. And these levees fail, what will happen is this crested flood water will mix with the water from the American River and from the Sacramento River because the levees have failed. And I was told that you'll see a crest of 25 feet inside the city. People aren't surviving that. And this could make Katrina look like child's play. Now, I'm hopeful that they're going to be able to mitigate the damage and they're going to be able to lower the water levels, although I was told today by an inside source that they're not getting the water level drop they wanted. They felt it had to be down 50 feet before the rains came in, and they're down 8 feet. Although they're And Jerry Brown's office is lying to the public about this. And the National Weather Service has forecasted three major storms lasting 7 days to come through, one right after the other. And if the water is warm, it will cause the snowpack to melt and greatly increase the amount of water that that dam has to hold. Most of the people up there told Paul Preston, he's got inside because he's got press credentials, and he's been told privately they don't believe they're going to be able to keep the dam intact. And about half the people, from what I understand, believe the dam's going to fail in the midst of these rainstorms. And then there's the other half that says, we may get through this, but when the snow runoff starts for real in the spring, that's when we're going to really have a problem, and we don't know if we have time to repair all of this. So this is a catastrophic event, and I've been going ballistic. And this is why I'm not talking conspiracy theories, because believe me, when you talk Jerry Brown, You're talking CalExit. You're talking political motivation here. And I'm not going there until the people are safe. I don't want to take attention off what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is we need to keep putting pressure on so they evacuate the people. Now, they did evacuate 200,000 people. The Butte County Sheriff issued a mandatory evacuation that was countermanded by the Department of Water Resources, a state department run by Jerry Brown, and they changed it. Now, by the way, they said they rescinded it. Not quite. They changed it from mandatory evacuation to making it optional. So they didn't remove the word evacuation from their official order, but they had the 200,000 people out. And here's the scary part. It took 10 to 12 hours to evacuate 200,000 people to high ground. That's for 200,000. If you got 1.5 million down there in the greater Sacramento area, how long are you going to need to evacuate them, especially if the levees are going to fail?
June.
This is scary, Doug. This is human catastrophe in the way. Now, maybe nothing will happen, but based on what I've described for you, shouldn't they be evacuating just in the interest of playing it safe?
You would think so. I mean, with the there's a number of things going on there that due to the fluctuation in the water levels. There have been a few earthquakes that have been reported today underneath the Lake Oroville, as well as the rains you talked about there. And I believe was just one of the storms. They're expecting 11.5 inches to a foot of rain, and they are expecting rain for, you know, as you said, one storm after the other for the next 7 days. Plus the snowpack that you talked about. So, you know, we saw the story really, you know, make headway earlier this week, and then it kind of died off, even though the dangers continue to be there and increase with these storms. So, you know, to let people back in, you know, that's a call that they might regret. And some people aren't going back in.
I published a Facebook post by the Butte County Sheriff, at least excerpts of it, and he said something to the people who have special medical needs. He said, I recommend you not come back. And basically to everybody else, and I'm paraphrasing now because I don't have it in front of me, but essentially what he said was, you know, don't get too comfortable because we may have to evacuate again. And that tells me he wasn't on board with the Jerry Brown decision to take back the mandatory evacuation order. It's just Jerry Brown trying to get people to go back to sleep. And they're not doing anything. What they're doing is they're dropping boulders in to try to shore up the breaches on the spillways. Well, the spillways are giving way because underneath of them is earthen land. And they're not going to be able to stop the spillways. That's going to put all the pressure on the dam itself. And so the dam will be weakened just by that. And the dam has already been, the water's already crested over the dam a couple of times now. A lot of people, when I tell people that, they go, really? Yeah, really, guys, it's been in the news. The water has crested over. Now, the water has receded somewhat, but they haven't got it down to that 50 feet. And I've been told, too, that 50 feet isn't even enough. With the structural integrity of the dam as it is, 50 feet is not enough. And here's the really bad news. I've also been told, and Paul's been told the same thing, that this dam is not the only dam that's in trouble. Now, this one is the most in trouble, but other dams in Northern California are also structurally inferior. So this isn't just a one-time deal.
Well, with the... it's amazing to think with all the tax money that is paid and collected by the IRS, record numbers every quarter, every month, that they would not put some of the money back into fixing the infrastructure, especially with the warnings they received about the possibility for damage and decay of this dam. Oh, what was it, over 12 years of warnings?
Well, you wrote about this, the very same issue, Dave. I mean...
Yeah, I did. And you know, you're going to make me go all the way with this. And it's okay. Maybe I should. When I first covered this area, by the way, is the state of Jefferson area. The people who are sick of being picked on by the EPA and the BLM and having their water compacts destroyed. 150-year agreements, totally abrogated by Jerry Brown. And so their answer was to take 21 counties in southern Oregon and northern California and create the 51st state, the state of Jefferson. And they're going about it the right way. They're going about it legally, unlike CalExit. And Jerry Brown obviously hates these people because this flies against his CalExit plan to make California an independent country. And it doesn't stop there. I was interviewing people 3 years ago when I first found out about the state of Jefferson, and I said, well, why does the Jerry Brown and the EPA want to destroy all your dams? They wanted to take out the Klamath dams in southern Oregon. They wanted to take out this dam we're talking about now. And I said, why do they want to do it? And they go, because they want us off our land. They want us to farm. They don't want us to ranch. And I said, well, what will happen? Will it be one big lake? They says, no, it'll eventually recede, Dave, but nothing will grow but algae. And I had a holy, you know what, moment, because I saw this before. And I covered the Gulf oil crisis. I wrote a 7-part series called The Great Gulf Coast Holocaust. And what I found is why they used CalExit to try to treat the oil spill. CalExit forces oxygen into the water column, and nothing grows but algae. And then what we started seeing after the fact is algae farms, which is the new biofuel craze, started cropping up along the coast in the Gulf, and your usual cast of characters such as Al Gore and Valerie Jarrett and all these people whose names were showing up as being part of this. And I thought, I wonder if they're taking out the dams in Northern California and Southern Oregon because they want to turn it into an algae hub for biofuel. And, you know, guys, if you ask me what I really think, yeah, I don't know if the Oroville Dam is actually, this is actually what they had planned, but they planned to take all these dams down. And they planned to flood people out of their farmland. And they planned to destroy all farming in that region, and nothing would have grown but algae. And so that's one motivation that I see. And some of the land would be evacuated, but might not be algae infested. And then your thinking is, well, who's working with Jerry Brown and CalExit? It's the Chinese. It's the Bank of China. It's a lot of other people, too. We have embedded sources at these meetings. And who's been buying up, like, land in the San Joaquin Valley where the 2-inch smeltfish forced so many farmers off their land because they couldn't irrigate? The Chinese came in and did this. And the thinking is on the periphery, the Chinese will also buy up flooded farmland that's not algae infested. And there's another motivation for Jerry Brown to carry this out. I think the Oroville Dam, though, is not a planned event. A lot of people want to think that. I think it's a crime of opportunity. That would be my best guess. And this is why Jerry Brown has not moved to shore up the dam. I mean, do you realize he's playing with the lives of almost 2 million people? That's what this comes down to. Now, I wasn't going to talk about conspiracy, but you took me right there. So
we had to, because you're so good at this, and you're good at uncovering these things. I love it. I mean, this is what
people don't know. I've come to appreciate, mostly because of Paul Preston's pointing me in the right direction, but I've come to appreciate how purely evil Jerry Brown is. Obama and Soros and that whole crew, they have Hillary Clinton, they have nothing on Jerry Brown. He's just as evil as the rest of them.
All right.
Do I think he cares if you have 100,000 people die? No.
No.
He doesn't give a flying flip.
That's the pathological aspect, the cycle, whatever clinical term is applicable here. None of these people care. It's amazing.
Well, there was a study done about basically what we might call sociopathic behavior. 3% of the population has it. 6% of politicians estimated to have it. 12% of CEOs. That kind of explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's a crazy time we live in.
Folks.
So I'm saying prayers for the people up in Northern California. I know people up there. You know, Paul Preston is, I believe, evacuating either tonight or in the morning, as a lot of people are self-evacuating because they know they can't trust this governor. And the other thing that Jerry Brown did, too, he came in and he replaced all the non-union workers, which were all the local guys, with union workers on the dam, and the local guys were telling the truth to the media. This is why I think he did it. And he brought in people he could control, state union workers, to work the dam. So now they're trying to cut down on the amount of news leaks that are going out.
Let me ask you a question, Dave. If you were in the path of this dam, would you move or, you know, evacuate?
Yes. And if I was a political official, I would order a mandatory evacuation for the whole region until we see how the dam holds up in these 7 days of storms. And then we could go back in and reassess and see if it's safe to come back. But right now, there's a question mark over the whole process. I'm not going to sit here and say the dam's going to fail, but the dam could fail.
Right.
And do you really want to take that risk with this many people's lives?
I got to tell you, no, man. And the thanks for your measured responses and assessments on this. This is good stuff. Wow, I can't believe we an hour already. This, you know, you the three of us could sit down. We could talk all day and record this all day and just
You enjoy the melody and I'm the harmony, right?
I prefer you a cappella, but anyway, whatever that means. I'm not even sure what I know what that means, but anyway.
Well, stay tuned this Sunday. I want to get this plug in. Joe is going to be my guest, and I'm sure we don't know what we're going to talk about, because who knows what's going to happen between now and Sunday.
Yeah,
that's right.
Doggone right, but all right, brother. Right.
Well, looking forward to it, Dave. The Common Sense Show.
Yeah.
TheCommonSenseShow.com. God bless you, Dave, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Pleasure to be on the best show in America. Appreciate it.
Right. Dave Hodge is always a crowd pleaser, folks. TheCommonSenseShow.com Sundays, and his daily briefs on YouTube.
Yeah, go
watch
on YouTube
those. Yeah,
and subscribe to his YouTube, The Common Sense Show on YouTube. And he's been doing a lot of those each and every day. When we come back from the break, we will have with us Anthony Patch from AnthonyPatch.com.
It's going to be an interesting
show. CERN expert. Yeah, so stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. But what Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits that we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.